Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Many people think I pick on Rob, which I do. I pick on Rob. But I love Rob, and I've always loved Rob, and he's like a son to me. He really is. And I give him a hard time because Rob is not burdened with the sense of the urgency of keeping this thing alive. What Rob likes to do is be funny, which he is, and contribute written content to the show, which he does very, very well, but the business issue. So I take you to Saturday midday. A text that I received from Oscar Santana, which Oscar writes to me, some great news.
Yes.
Rob and I had a great call yesterday evening with a potential client for the show.
Right.
And he goes on to detail what's happening with this person, where they're based out of, what's going to happen. It's very, getting that kind of news for this show, this little tiny engine, is really a big deal for us because it helps us out and, it prevents us from going under.
Right.
Which is always a fear,
To be honest with our listeners, when's the last time you got a text like that?
It's been a long, long time.
Years.
Mm-hmm. And, we get one call. It's a big deal. We get somebody. And we have prided ourselves over the years on the Mike O'Mara Show that we really like to have our relationships with advertisers. If you stay with us a long time, you do pretty well. It's why we have companies that have been with us. But it's still a slog. Yeah. And everybody's out there fighting that. So when I get a big, it is a huge deal. So before Oscar arrives, I look at Rob and I say, well, congratulations on your meeting. And Rob looks at me and goes, what? I said, your meeting. And it's like, oh, Friday. Oh, okay. Oscar will tell you about that.
He caught me off guard.
Because you don't care. And
no,
it's
not
a big deal to you.
It
is not a big deal to you. Obviously, the enthusiasm is not shared by your cohort because it's just it's something you do and you just check it off your list. And I thought it was a big deal. And when I come in and I congratulate, and then Oscar came in and told me all about the things that you don't know.
I was there, and I was a part of it. This is what it comes down to. Rob, he's sweet, he's nice, but he's dumb. And when...
I refuse to believe that he's dumb.
No, he's dumber than we think.
I refuse to believe that he's dumb.
He's dumber than we think, and I mean that in the sweet, nice, the most cuddly way possible.
Okay, let's let him continue with this point, because now I'm curious.
The dumb man can have that conversation and then move on with their life and forget about it. The smart man...
Which he did.
Carries that with him for the rest of his life and remembers how great a call that was.
I didn't stop thinking about it all weekend after you texted me that.
It was a great conversation, and there was a lot of stuff that was established.
You don't care.
I do care. It's great. It was awesome.
But it's not anything where you thought it was a big enough deal to go, oh, yeah, it was fantastic. It was more like, what meeting? It's fascinating, but that's why you are you, and you've never changed, and you never will change. It drives me insane, but you never change. So, I mean, it was just something that was really good for the business side of what we do.
For this call, during the call, with our contact on the phone or Zoom, I said to Rob, and the gentleman on the lines looking at both of us, I said, great job setting up this call. Great job. Best call of the week. Like I'm praising the man before, and I don't praise Rob at all, as you well know.
That's right.
So when he got it, he looked shocked. I'm like, man, this man thinks I hate him. I don't. I love him so much. I love Rob so much. Like a brother.
I miss traveling with him.
Yeah, I miss hanging out with him.
Greatest guy to travel with. Every business, if they had a Rob to travel with. Yeah. We have had some of the greatest
really
laugh
it
fits.
Is my role is that of jester. I mean, yes. I do other things, but if we were 400 years ago, there would be bells on my shoes. Of course
you
I do.
You love doing the jester thing. It's not like you're four. I think of jester, I think, as a, you know, of the, you know, the queen will behead you.
No. I never meant it like that. I mean, we have roles that we serve, and I jest.
Right.
This is what I do. So, there's other things I do that, you know, fall under my job description.
You're a great producer.
But the
great editor. You paint with sound.
But you know what?
Great guest booker. I'm sorry. I misspoke. No. I'm sorry about that. I apologize.
But the thing is that, you know what? It was fun to be a part of that call, to set it up, to watch all the machinations happening. And I'll tell you something.
But you didn't. It's not like it lingered with you through the weekend.
Favorite things. No, it didn't. Because it was done, and it was a successful call, and that's good, and that's a win. But I'll tell you one of my favorite things. And I don't throw off praise for him much either.
Did you hear what your brother said?
I hear everything he says.
Yeah, it's like he makes love with her, and he's like, oh, I guess that's over for a month. Next month.
That's giving me all the best of it.
I don't
know what
that means.
Well, no.
I don't know.
Because it's fun to kick me. It is. It's fun.
Oh, no. We love you.
But I mean, really, when this conversation is going, the next actual natural step would be to question my skills as a lovemaker. So I see how you made that jump there. That made sense. Nice and linear.
I've never questioned that because I know firsthand.
Well, why do you think you love to travel with me? Every show needs a Rob.
Yes.
No, but I will tell you something, because Oscar said some nice things. I'll say this. It is fun to be in a business meeting or a call with Oscar, because he is so laser focused and so good at what he does. It's fun to watch him do that.
I'm good at it. But you know, what did I respond here? This is exactly what I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, fantastic. See what happens when you keep me out of the loop?
I was in a business.
I'm there. If you ever want a closer, I'm good at it.
You get annoyed and you make some rash decisions. I've seen that happen before.
You mean as far as like promising things that I shouldn't promise?
Yes.
I might do that, but I don't think I get annoyed. Do I really?
Yeah, it's just,
I really don't get annoyed with an advertiser.
You bottle your annoyance, but it's there. And I think you'd have to know someone.
Rob and I can tell.
Yeah, because we've known you for a while. But like, for example, if we're on some sort of onboarding call for a client, any client, ABC,
and it goes
AJ,
more than 15 minutes, and you hear someone, me on the line go.
It always happens when the agency representative says, now, does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, and you're on with three other disc jockeys,
right,
or like a producer goes, it's like, you know, and anybody, because they're rookies that get on there and it's nothing you can.
You're always respectful.
Yes.
Hopefully it will be a successful relationship. We're always excited that we can deliver, and we'll see. That's up to you people. Hopefully we'll bring you some,
you'll hear
fun
some
people,
new names,
and nice relationships that will benefit you. Now on to the super blah.
No, not a fan.
The super blah. I am. I will tell you this. There are two things that happened in the world of sports. Okay. Leading up to the Super Bowl on another network is a golf tournament known as the Waste Management Classic in Phoenix, Arizona. It is my
is it
next to the Masters.
By Tony Soprano?
came over to help you with your different packages. We're going to pick up your trash, or it's going to pile up in your front lawn. Your choice.
The Waste Management Classic is Phoenix. One of the great things about this golf tournament is that it takes place in this very rowdy environment. They brought a limited number of fans, they did with the Super Bowl, back, which is a positive sign that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I love it, because it's got a stadium hole on hole number 17.
I've been to it.
Oh, you've
remember,
been,
Mike?
It's spectacular. They boo if a player hits a bad shot. It's something you don't see in golf. So I like that. So the first thing was Brooks Koepka, I'm too cool for school, won the tournament. So when Brooks Koepka is winning a tournament, I turn it off. I don't like him.
You don't care for
him. I don't like watching him win. There's nothing that he shows absolutely no emotion because he's too cool for school. There's no joy. There's not. It's just him and how cool and tough a guy he is with his too tight shirt. And that's it. So I turn it off. So that's the first, and only because of that. The nice thing about that Waste Management Classic is I can avoid the insane lead up that's been around for a million years
yeah.
to the Super Bowl. Now, do we do this every year? This is our version of a local TV reporter standing out in front of the airport the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Okay. We do it every year, and there are great games and there are more crappy games. This was a crappy game.
It was.
And I discovered something about myself. I was told by a friend of mine prior to the game that a story, a personal story that I will not use for purposes of this discussion because I won't violate my friend's privacy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it was Tom Brady doing a really, really cool thing for a fan and for a family of fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's really over the top. And it was very, very nice. And
he said, you know what?
So I went into the game thinking, well, you know what? I like that Tom Brady has changed his MO a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's made some really good PR moves, done some nice things, hugging Drew Brees and going out there and throwing a pass to Drew's kid. Liked all of that. I realized as the game was going on, it doesn't take away the stink of the Patriots and and how, as a non-Patriots fan, most football fans don't want to see Tom succeed. It's not that I didn't want to see Tom succeed. It's that I feel the same way about Tom Brady having a great Super Bowl as Rob has about a business meeting. I'm happy for him.
Oh, wow.
But it doesn't really matter to me.
Being in Florida, I didn't even register that.
And also, isn't it?
No, really. Unfortunately not. I thought it might, but there was nothing there. I'm a Giants fan.
I was not any great Brady supporter, but when I looked at after the fact, 7 rings, which is amazing. When you really think about it,
the accomplishment in and of itself is one of the greatest accomplishments in professional sports ever.
Yeah.
He is the definition of a winner.
I think he's gotten too much in life, Mike. It's just
too much handed to him.
I need to
know. He's earned some of it.
I need to know he's got a small ding dong or something because life isn't fair otherwise. It's too much for him.
But also, you add to that he had those good PR moments leading up to the game. The past couple weeks were very wisely played. They're definitely by design, but they were wise. But what I really liked was seeing him win disassociated with the cheating organization of the New England Patriots.
Well,
it proved that he could do it without all the trickery.
Look, here's the thing.
Unless they broke the trickery.
Aha!
I think you really have, okay, and this is good for Patriots haters out there. You have, I think, two players that said, we don't want to play for the dick anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, that's
Belichick.
Belichick. Tom Brady goes to Tampa. Gronk comes out of retirement. I don't want to play, but if Tom's going down there, it speaks to their relationship. And my God, the clutch level of play that we had. But getting back to the machine that is the NFL, I am really happy the NFL did some things that it did. But at the same time, no matter what the cause, I cannot escape the feeling of the NFL with everything they do bordering on being self-congratulatory.
In some cases
the message but it's just here's how great we are and it in my case it watered down the message to a degree. And what has followed, this is just, and I'll let you have your say here, I believe are advertisers doing exactly what the NFL does. And it taints it just a little bit when you say, you know, I love our clients that do give money back to certain charitable organizations, but it just was relentless. And between the hype of the game and the advertisers that were self-congratulatory and all that, I was numb. I was a little bit numb. Go ahead, Oscar. I know you want to say.
For me at least, to sit here and actually defend the advertisers and defend the NFL. But I'm going to. And I'll tell you why, Mike, because we have somehow found.
It may be tough, but it's not unusual.
It's not unusual. To disagree with you, yes, I agree.
No. I'm talking about to defend, like, the big corporation.
Big corporations. Well, yeah, you know, I'm a capitalist, Mike, first. I've said that
multiple times on the show. You love a winner, Oscar. And you know what? No matter what the final score is, the NFL is a winner.
We don't do that enough on this show. And maybe that's because we're just beat down, we're day walkers living in the world of radio and podcasting. When you actually get to perform at your highest level and complete a season or serve your clients or serve your customers or serve your employees, I think the time to tell people that you're making it out on the other side or you've done it is this venue. Like, even for Reddit, for that Reddit commercial, the 5-second Reddit commercial that they bought, I don't know if it's the best money spent to promote a platform that almost hypothetically crashed the nation's economy, the world's economy, but they did it.
Robin Hood was there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did it, and it was something that you're like, okay, I get it. Now, were the commercials great? No, they were not. Like, the game was not, and but you can't control that, Mike. We can't control what the game's like.
No, the game cannot. There's nothing that can be controlled in the game. So what I'm talking about, and there's nothing that will change the overanalysis of the game,
right?
Which they have set new. There is such an industry. I come from an era of the NFL where getting a former player in the broadcast booth was a bit of an outlier. And there might be a little guy as Pat Summerall back in the day and Frank Gifford. That's when they were not, it was not a cottage industry.
Yeah.
You now have thousands of these guys that they know that the transition will go.
It's the career track. Playing the game's only part of it.
I do not believe, and I never have believed, that you need, eight people talking about the same thing. I really don't. I think it's overkill. But there's nothing that's going to change that. So what are we left with, Oscar? We are left with the fact that we also have a cottage industry that talks about who bought this time on the Super Bowl? What advertisers? Mm-hmm. These people aren't going to advertise. Who's going to do this? Let's have a television show about the funny ads they get. And they have created this monster, and they owe me. That's it. They're the only ones that effing owe me, okay? You're not... The performers, they're subjective. The national anthem the halftime. Yeah. I will talk about that in a second here. But the commercials, you owe me. And to all those Richie Riches that have the money to ever, F you and your families too. I am telling you that you screw you a B. You are we're not buying into it. We all watch because you told us for 20 years to watch,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then you got you advertising agency pricks told us that you were going to do funny commercials, and then it stopped.
Yep.
And now it's just how wonderful is life? This is what we do that's special. This is our and you don't bring the funny. You don't bring the funny. Shoving Matthew McConaughey into a vending machine is not funny. And I like Matthew McConaughey. All right? I thought that's where you screw me. At least give me that. And when the game's a blowout, I want the first four commercial breaks to be funny, funnier, funny, right. Funny. There was a time. I don't know how many. I think you go back maybe 7 years.
Right.
Maybe a decade.
More than that.
The last time we were, it was known, but we still, because we're rubes, we're all waiting to see what commercial. We all do it. Don't do it anymore.
Right.
Because it's irrelevant. They literally don't do it anymore. There might be a slightly funny commercial. I laughed out loud at maybe one commercial. I will, I'll share it with you.
Okay.
I thought the lemons commercial was funny.
I like that
I one. Thought the lemons commercial, because the lemons commercial took what was 2020, which we were all thinking about, a lemon of a year, and people getting hit in the head with lemons.
Yeah.
Makes me, that was, I said, why didn't we have
hard?
Why didn't we have hard, really breaking windows, the whole thing. That to me was special. Other than that, are you kidding me? Will Ferrell going to Norway? Will Ferrell and his dog lower teeth? That I have to look at with his unshaven You know,
not funny.
Will Ferrell, whose really record of funny would probably approximate Jim Mora in the NFL, in my humble opinion. You know,
you'll be pleased to know. So we had a live shot for one of the national shows on ESPN early morning. So our call was at 6 a.m. And as you heard all the anchors and everybody getting ready behind the scenes, like they felt the same. I mean, I'm not going to speak for them, but the overall messaging was, man, like, wish we had a better second half from the show to talk about what. So then you highlight what is apparent, a man who has left a team, came back, as we talked about earlier, won another Super Bowl. And it's, you know, time versus Tom, and Tom continues to win, as I said last week.
Got to throw Gronk into that, too. Got to throw Rob Gronkowski in there. I mean,
why
he catches
not?
Passes, you know, anywhere within 3 feet of him. It's like, you know, fantastic.
Why not? And one of the anchors said it best either last night or this morning, where they said, if you're looking for any type of case study in business or in sports, somebody better chronicle what happened this year at Tampa Bay and how somebody could walk in and literally change this entire land, this entire, I guess, culture of sports within a COVID pandemic born year where you're not seeing everybody every day.
And I think, and by the way, the only thing I can tell you, the respect I have for Tom Brady and his ability to win is unmatched. I just don't like the guy. I'm sorry. I wish I could, but I don't like that. But that's okay.
What gets you
that's
about him? His cleft chin or his wonderful hair?
What you said, but you know, it's just he's got it. You know,
he's
jealousy,
got too much.
Yeah, petty jealousy and his association with Belichick and with the orange hair.
Maddie, what do you think?
Other than that, Maddie, what's your feeling on Brady?
Oh, I despise him.
Ooh,
wow. But I mean, especially as a Bills fan and you know the Patriots in our division and everything. But he said some like mean things about Buffalo. He's just arrogant. I'm not a fan.
Could he ever fix it?
No.
He can't undo it?
No.
No. What's done is done.
And I don't have, he's never been in my division, so I don't care what I don't like, but this is a tell. Because for a moment there, I said, you know, what an incredible deal. You switch teams, you go, and you have this amazing performance. And I turned it off because I just didn't want to see the trophy presentation and all that. I didn't want to see that again. It didn't.
Yeah, you've
so
seen
tells
enough.
Me, who is really, who was the, do we even know who the MVP was on this show? Did we pay enough
Tom
attention?
Brady.
To Tom
know?
Brady, of course.
Tom Brady was the MVP. Okay.
As a matter of fact, there was in the third quarter when Jim Nantz says, now the polls are open if you want to vote for who's the MVP. And Kerry looked at me and said, who do you think it's going to be?
Who else?
Now, you didn't bring up, Mike, the one thing that I feel that why the NFL owes me. Is the commercials, I agree with you, they're not great. The game was a blowout. But you can't now have a virtual reality Vince Lombardi as a character
thank you, Rob
on the show. He was
Rob
a real man, flesh
thank
and
you.
Bone.
Make up for the whole business meeting discussion. That's it. was that?
Mm.
What was, and they hyped it.
Yes.
They
something very special.
Something special.
Game.
And they come out with this animatronic Vince Lombardi with the voice of Al Pacino.
Which is wrong.
Obviously, that was
Pacino,
the voice. But which is not the right person. He doesn't sound... Vince Lombardi sounds like that. That's
like
the way you sound.
I had like
not
a little like rascal. My hands were on my face like in Home Alone. I'm like, what are they doing? Welcome to the House of Wax.
That's crap. But they hyped the crap. Yes, thank you, thank you. The Vince Lombardi animatronic dummy at the beginning.
By the way, it was okay when he's walking around, like, you know, handing a football to the little kids. But when he's in the stadium, he looks like he's a 14-foot-tall Vince Lombardi, like he's going to come in and destroy Green Bay.
And there was one shot originally where you see his face and you're like, wow, he didn't move a lot, and then they had him, and then it looks like, seriously, I'm looking at a scene from Planet of the Apes.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And, you know, they missed. You know, look,
for people, you heard Al Pacino, but this is what they should have handed some.
What about the key strategy that you missed out?
Well, I haven't the slightest idea what that would be at this time.
What is
I don't know what you mean by strategy, and I have no idea what they're going to do if that's what you mean by the strategy.
What about the strength and the weaknesses of the team? Let's talk.
Well, I don't know. First place, if I knew any, I had any weakness, I dare say I wouldn't want to mention him. And as far as
stop right there. All right,
that's done. That's all it
this
is.
This is 100 years ago. They've always hated the media.
Yes. Right? Oh, but they've Vince all, really
coaches,
did.
Coaches for NFL people always paid it. You know, it's like, well, I'm going to answer you a question. Do you feel? Are you excited about the fact that you woke up this morning? No, I'm not. I don't know why you bring that up. I don't know why. Are you breathing right now? No, I don't believe I am. I don't know why you have to talk about breathing. They, you know, it's a contrarian attitude.
And what you don't know, they didn't show it on CBS because of the game, but after Lombardi gave that speech in the stadium, he climbed the Empire State Building and tore planes from the sky.
Do you have in your audio vault today the play-by-play of the fan running onto the field?
That was my closer today, but I can play it for you now if you want. I love it.
If you want to play it, and then you can close with it too.
Yeah, it's Kevin Harlan from Westwood One did it. Yeah,
Nancy and Tony Romo. By the way, got to give them kudos because I thought
Romo
they
is great.
Understated, chill, fantastic. Somebody, I don't know whether they got to Romo or not, but it was so he now. I have flipped on him completely.
Yep, worth every penny.
Because I've given him crap in the thing. He was chill. Nance is Nance. Nance is great at what he does. That's the way. Mm-hmm. He's a dear friend of this show, and I love the guy, and I really do. And to have them do what they did on that stage, there was no hype out of Tony Romo. So when there's no Tony getting too excited, you just break it down to what he's great at. He literally calls the trends. He practically calls the plays. He's that good at it because he thinks about it all the time. So, but they handled it the way they think they're supposed to, where they make a brief mention of a fan running odd to the field. I guess, was it the national play-by-play guy
The Westwood One guy carried the game was Kevin Harlan, and he's got a voice you'll recognize because he's
Harlan,
great at it.
A legendary broadcaster, great guy. Kevin Harlan didn't get the memo that you're not supposed to glorify these guys. So late in the game, when a fan runs on the field, I don't know if you've heard this, Oscar.
I have not.
Kevin Harlan decided he's not going to ignore the fan. He's going to do a little play-by-play. This is funny video, funny audio. This is the way. By the way, I know we're not supposed to glorify the idiots, but this
Hey, it was something
laugh.
To watch. It was something to watch during the game. Yeah, here we go.
This is great. Let's listen.
Westwood 1.
Second down, 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
Oh, that, my friends, is a professional play-by-play
Funny.
Broadcaster.
So good.
Nice to see they still exist. That didn't hurt anybody for him to call it like that. Take off the pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
We had him a few months ago when remember when there was a cat on the field?
Yeah.
He covered the cat as well. He was great. He's great.
Yeah, fantastic. So, the hype machine that we had, and then a letdown with the game. And if you love Tom Brady, as so many people do, it was great. If you despise Tom Brady like Maddie, not great
not
at all. And I believe the other legendary quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, was kind of playing on one foot. I think he deserves a little credit for that.
I thought he did a great job. His receivers didn't, or his defense didn't do much for him. And was it also a reminder, though, for all of us and the millions of people watching, Mike, how much things have changed in 1 year?
Oh, amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. You know, really. It is. And
it was sobering to some extent
sobering and making me crave more normalcy.
Yes.
And maybe also the realization that we will never be the same after this. I think we're going to have protocols. I'm probably popping into the grocery store for a good long time with a mask on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
why
I do
not?
Want to applaud the people.
Doesn't affect my life that much.
I think we need to applaud the people of Tampa Bay for being responsible and orderly when they exited the stadium. Mm-hmm. And did not riot in the streets, maskless. because it was the Super Spreader Bowl.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, they're climbing. It looked like any. They're climbing phone poles. Yeah. They're not wearing masks. And who saw that coming? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, I think this that surprises me because this is a very reasonable state.
Hey, brah.
It's me, California Twig.
What are you doing here?
When I'm not paying $47 for a gallon of gas, I get all of my Twitch needs from the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com and have your essentials delivered to the East Coast or the Best Coast or anywhere in between. I wish they all could
be California. The best of O'Mara.
As usual, it's Monday. We're behind, so
already.
I'll just tell you to add one more malady. Then when we come back, I want to get to vaccination updates from Oscar Santana.
Great.
Because I kind of follow him closely, and I've got some questions of my own for him. But I will tell you, add to the malady level here, and I think it's probably dehydration. I've seen ads on TV for this, and I don't know where it started happening to me. Maybe it's old age. Maybe soon I'm going to be stroking out. I don't know, but the whole leg cramp thing.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm getting me the middle of the night leg cramps like you would not believe. The worst I've ever had came this weekend. I think it was Friday night or Saturday night. I don't remember which one, where I get a leg cramp in my calf and it actually moved up into my quad. And I am in agony. So over the weekend, Mrs. O'Mara and I went to the old person's drugstore and I found me some medicine. So I took a little magnesium, which they say you should take.
I thought it was potassium that was for leg cramps.
I don't know. I thought it was magnesium. And then I got a leg cramp. Like they sell pills for it. It's a homeopathic thing that you dissolve on. Yeah, you know what? Just add it to the. This is where, as you get into your 60s, just add it to the weighted down shelf of supplements. Some I use and some I don't.
The saddest part of this story is not that you're taking a pill, but it's the kind of pill that you have to dissolve in your mouth.
Like it's nitroglycerin.
That's right.
Like I'm Henry Fonda in On Golden Pond.
Stay perfectly still.
Sucks.
Eat a banana. See if it helps if you add bananas to your scheme. Lima beans.
Yeah. We had a babysitter on Saturday night, and we went to an outdoor place, grabbed a bite to eat, and then our fun night was going to a drugstore. I looked at my wife and I said,
but you have to admit, it was a great drugstore.
By the way, I will do, but it was not my request. It was Mrs. O'Mara. She wanted to go out and just poke around at the drugstore that I had raved so much about. That's it. Because this was the one that she dropped the kid off and waited, and I waited outside for her. So we went in there. You know, isn't this great? And they do, by the way, have an amazing supply of canes. Like canes as far as the eye can see.
Mike, it says here that abnormal blood levels of electrolytes, it's what plants crave, such as calcium, magnesium, and potassium, can develop muscle cramps. So it's both potassium and magnesium that you need to watch out for.
Yeah. All right.
Well, maybe Gatorade.
Are you drinking enough water, liquid IV, whatever you got around the house?
I don't know if I'm doing that. And I
probably
should.
Are you talking a lot lately? Because even talking will dehydrate you after a while.
Well, I talk all the time, Oscar. You know, not when I'm just... actually, when I'm not on this show, I don't say two words to anybody.
Well, you got to rest the instrument.
No, when I'm off this show... When I'm off this show, I'm pretty much like Marshawn Lynch. All right, that's it. By the way, I watched an incredible hybrid of his. Well, his commercial's funny.
Yeah.
I watched his press conferences over the years. You know, and there's sometimes like, Marshawn, how do you feel about the game? Yep. How do you feel about you? Are you feel healthy? Yep. What are you doing? What do you think your strategies for next week? Yep. Like that. It's great.
During the day, though, at the house, Mike, when the show is over, don't you mostly wear a bathrobe with a warm towel around your neck? And when someone talks to you, simply raise your hand?
Yeah, and a cigarette in a lighter, a cigarette holder that's unlit.
Resting.
So if anybody comes to the, if somebody comes to the door, I'm just like, hello? Just leave it outside. Just go ahead and leave it outside.
My doctor says please don't commit. The rest of the instrument.
There you are. Please leave it outside. Now, we do a lot of yelling in the O'Mara household, so add it to the list. Just check off leg cramps, you know. And this leg cramp that went from the calf, it's because I got tired of fighting it. When you get a leg cramp, you fight it. You move your foot to kind of straighten it out. And then I just said, well, maybe I'll relax it and it'll go away. No, it traveled. It traveled up into the quad. So I was like, okay, this is gone. All right, that's gone. It's moving up. my God!
Are you sure it's not like a creature in your leg if it traveled? Like some sort of symbiotic
like an alien?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and then all of a sudden I look down at my thigh. You know, ectoplasm goes out. It's like, and then it runs across the hallway under the bed. And I'm like, oh, and I'm dying on the sofa.
That was like, it. Hey, wait, is that titanium? Let's get that for scraps.
Hey, kids, where do you want to go for dinner?
Amato!
Now Jim Amato is going to, like, sell a veggie burger.
Amato burgers.
I love beef, but I'll take this.
You'll not believe the incredible Michael Mara burger.
This Amato veggie burger is fantastic.
Oh, God, these are good.
Welcome to Amato's, Pittsburgh's favorite burger.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
At Amato's, we pack our burgers with top-quality cuts of beef and prepare everything with tender love and care.
Did they teach you that here?
Brad.
If you're hungry for laughs, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? Supersize the fun with a yearly subscription at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Yeah, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
The best of O'Mara.
Before we get to Oscar and the vaccine, I will just add one thing.
Okay.
So I'm walking with the three, you know, the three amigos, my son, my wife, and me, in Target Sunday morning.
Is your son an enthusiastic shopper? Does he like going to stores?
The reason for the trip to the store was Michael was so helpful over the weekend. We promised him that he'd be able to get a new Lego gun.
Oh, cool.
Sorry, a new Nerf gun. A new Nerf gun.
Yeah.
Which he did. So that was the purpose of the trip. And then we were, what the hell else were we getting in there? We get this special bread that we like so bad. Mm-hmm. And we were, that was it. Other than that, we're going to be out there. So we got the shopping cart with Michael's toys. We've already picked those up. I'm walking across and I stumble. To the point where I almost fall forward.
Oh.
And, you know, Carla turns around, very sympathetic, and says, what's the deal with you? And I get, it was a stumble where it was just like, wow, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Then so you were surprised as well.
I was. We talked about another 50 yards. It happens again.
Mm.
Where I catch my toe, and I thought I was going to go down. And the cart goes out in front of me where it's like...
Are you catching your toe like on the floor as you step or on the cart?
Well, I wasn't quite sure because I'm not looking at him, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
But at this point, I'm like, you know, am I stroking out here? What's going... My leg going dead? What's it, you know, with the leg cramps and everything else like that. Three times it happens. It happens three times. And then after the third time, I said, all right, everybody, just stop walking for a second. And I take my Skecher.
Yeah.
I'm a stylish man.
Of course.
I am a stylish man. I take my Skecher and I do this little stubbing it into it, and it's like glue.
Oh.
It's like there is no slide in it.
Yes.
And I was just curious if there is a if there is a substance or a way they clean the floor. I mean, it just was a particularly, I guess I drag my feet.
Yeah, you think
I'm
a floor should just allow you to drag your feet?
Well, your foot doesn't stick if you pick it up, it won't stick.
Yeah, well, if you want to know what I walk like when I'm in Target, go back and look at the old Carol Burnett show.
Oh, the old man
and
sketch?
And the man who played the old man, if you want to see the way I walk. Shuffle.
Yeah,
the only similarity
I see between my Target experience and your Target experience, Mike, it's not the tripping, it's the fact that our wives actively are rooting against us.
Yeah,
that's
what I
mean.
You know, it was like, and I looked, and I, at one point I looked at Carl and I said, I have no idea. I feel like I got a dead leg or something. Like, no, it was the floor, and I just need to look. Walking is okay. I walk all the time.
I know what's happening. You're doing skinny men do this as well, but it's a lazy man lean on the cart, walk. Like, let the cart be essentially
I'm envisioning, Mike, have you ever seen at an ice skating rink?
Have you ever seen the people that put that, that pull their arms on the cart, stick their ass up in the air and just slide?
Ever see it at an ice skating rink where they give a toddler like a 5-gallon bucket to lean on while they skate? That's what's going on there. You're using it for support and aid.
It
and
made
you know
me
what?
Really think thank about God my walking, which is bad.
Thank God the cart was there. Three times you would have bloodied your nose. That cart is the only thing that saved you. Boom, boom.
All right. On a health related note, you were hovering around your local CVS.
Yeah.
Shot. Any progress on that front? Well, hey, look, by the way, down here in Coonville, got a lot of people that are talking about where they got it and they're getting it. I don't know where we stand. I haven't done a deep dive on it in a while. I'm hoping maybe they're making progress.
My mom got her second Pfizer dose and had about a bad 15, 18 hours, and she feels great now. So it's good.
Good.
I guess the crux for you, Mike, is maybe less hunting for artisanal bread at Target and more hunting for vaccines for you.
I can't do it down here. It's impossible.
And it wasn't artisanal bread. What he buys, Oscar, is a 6-foot sub loaf.
Yummy so you can lean on it? Tummy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you need for that.
Not like Pauly Christine's Super Bowl food. We'll talk about that maybe tomorrow. It's 65 and over down here.
Yeah.
So,
but are you ready to pounce once they give you the green light?
Probably not. I think are you ready to trip? I think my ready to pounce would the first thing to do would be to perhaps have a conversation with my physician and ask if I can move up in the line because of my leg cramps.
I'm getting blood clots.
You know, doctor, I have a
blood clots.
I have a thing for tripping.
Right. I need. Why don't we go through the list right now? Ask me what areas of my body have been operated on.
All right. Like, let's do surgery roundup. What areas of your body have been operated on?
Right shoulder.
Okay.
Left shoulder. Left knee. Right knee. Back. Right hip. Left hip. No heart surgery. No gut surgery. That's it. All orthopedic.
Well, Mike, I will say this. You're symmetrical.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. 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 And I have artificial things in my body. Got an MRI last week. I'm proud of them. You know,
what were the shoulders about? I don't remember. We didn't know each other then.
Early. Had two bad shoulders, from playing a little high-level high school hockey. That's it. Mm. That's all I had. And had them cleaned up a little bit. Had them scoped. I've got terrible joints. Mm. Terrible, terrible joints. You know? Look at these hands.
Useless. Are they not useless, Mike?
This is, I thank God for the internet where you can use your fingers to click.
As far as the vaccine is concerned, the cat's out of the bag with wait to see if you have any leftovers at any Yiant or.
So they're stacked up safe. When you go over? Right,
yeah. I continue to go because on the off chance that people are just going to be weighing and say, oh, I'm not dealing with this anymore. Mm. And DC's doing this bit where they'll send you what seems to be like a daily text on the update, and you're hoping that's when they tell you that you're ready to rock, right?
Yeah, I get the same thing from Loudoun County.
It's the same information. And I get it. Maybe you missed a text, but I didn't miss 12 texts. No. And then I start reading it. I'm like, this is the same copy and paste. Mm-hmm. And as they should, they are highlighting certain zip codes, which is not my zip code, which I understand. It's fine. But
2007, not in the list?
Not on the list.
For me,
what I'm really concerned about is my dad, because he's got the first dose in from the Moderna vaccine, is my mom. And I feel like, because I saw them yesterday, we'll get to this a little later, but I feel like my mom is holding against my dad that he's 80 and he has the vaccine. And she holds it against him because he's always like, well, I'll be okay. And in the corner of the room, she's always like, but I won't. Because I don't have the vaccine
yet. Your mom's over 70, and she has not gotten a vaccine yet.
She has not got. She's waiting for Montgomery County to open up the floodgates, so they haven't yet.
Wow. See, that's not cool. No, that's not cool at all.
Not cool. With that.
And you're not. You're still not. So you're no longer going to the drugstore to just linger at the end of the day.
I went on Friday, and I don't make. I'm not embarrassed by it. I had to fill a script anyways. I just went right before closing.
Is that why you were wearing the old age makeup?
But there's a lot of shaming going around saying, how dare you get this vaccine? If you waited and it's just surplus, I'm not going to shame you.
No,
I'm not gonna shame you
at all.
That's about that.
Absolutely not. Why not? They got to use it anyway. I hope there's a line of 10 people that get the vaccine or otherwise it would go bad. Mm-hmm. It's all about herd immunity. You're doing it. No, do not be shamed by be shamed. The guy that was down here, maybe in Florida, I'm not sure where it was, selling, a place in line for like 10 grand.
Oh, really?
That's the guy you shame. Jeez. That's the guy that's a dick. There was one guy. There's always somebody
like
that
a
does
ticket master.
Crap like that.
Exactly.
You know, they busted him, which was fantastic. They like not arrested, but they shamed him. So that was cool.
When
too.
Is the private market opening up is my question. Like, how do you get that?
The black market, where
Just the private. Your doctor's like, hey, some of these fell off a truck.
If you have a G5 that can fly to Minnesota in 3 hours, we've got the vaccine standing by for you. Screw those people. Mm. I don't mind you rolling over to your local drugstore and loitering for 10 minutes to see if there's some extra, but that would be the private market. Would you pay if it was the private market?
Oh, 100%.
How much would you pay? What would be the top?
Now, how much
for my mom?
Yeah, for your mom.
For my mom, I'd call my brother and sister and say, let's pull together $1,000 to get this over.
Okay.
With.
Yeah. All right.
For
yeah,
me? I'm $100.
I'd kick in 20 for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Polly Christine. Rob, can we book Polly Christine on the show?
I believe so, yeah. He's shy, but I'll work on him.
I would like to ask if he really eats that way. Because I'm curious.
I'm with you.
Because if he eats that way, I want to know how he does it. I know he's big. He's a big man.
Yeah.
But at the same time, recently he's posted a lot of food and I love it when he does that. It's his wheelhouse. He's really good at it and he's good at sharing and he's good at social media because everybody knows who he is and everybody sees his stuff. His Super Bowl presentation of the stuff. They printed out a menu. I need to have some questions answered.
I love that he prints out a menu. It's like you're eating at a buffet at a brunch. I mean, he's got the stuff labeled. There was one amazing post last week, I think after that Northeast blizzard, where he said, after I finished shuffling snow, my wife made Caesar salad, tomato soup, and pork chops.
Now, the last time we talked to him about it, he talked about the fact that his wife is a phenomenal cook.
Yeah.
That she is the catalyst for all this. But I will tell you, when I look at his posts, I believe that he's doing some sort of thing with family members or... that menu would have to.
Yeah, it would almost have to be.
Involve guests. You know what I mean? I would think.
For his super spreader party?
Yeah.
The Polly Christine super spreader party?
I mean,
he's got a big family that they have their own little pod together.
Maybe. Yeah, I know he has an Aunt Mary. I remember her. She makes the gravy.
Aunt Mary, I
like that you guys watch his food catalog. Like for me, when I see the food,
there's more. I haven't checked it in 24 hours. There's dip the dessert page.
Oh, I didn't see desserts.
All right, go ahead, Oscar. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
Food posts don't do what it does for me for you, and it's not because I don't like food. It just seems like. Oh, here we go again. You know, it's what he does.
It's his shtick, yeah.
I'd rather see the food from your all-inclusive resort because that's what I could I could relate to because I've been to an all-inclusive resort and the food usually is garbage. But he somehow finds the food that looks good.
Oh, Mike, cinnamon rolls.
Like homemade cinnamon rolls with a cake.
Yes.
You can eat. It's really incredible.
A funfetti cake.
I'm trying to get the. All right, let me see if he's got the menu because he posts the menu here. It looks like pigs in a blanket.
Yeah.
Looks like a big stuffed bread with cheese dripping out of it.
That sounds
with the
good.
It's really. It looks. Those are barbecued ribs. Pigs in a blanket.
There is a list from, this is dated one day ago when they went to Nicholas Barrel and Roost, and this is what lunch they had. This is what they ordered at the restaurant.
Yes.
This was Aunt Mary and mother-in-law Louise. They had salmon toast, strawberry compote, egg avocado, crab Waldorf, French toast and bourbon maple syrup, short rib hamburger, Gruyere mac and cheese, and chicken salad.
All right, I'm trying to find. Please show the menu.
Didn't need the chicken.
Here we
salad.
Go. I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Super Bowl Sunday. Polly Christine.
Oh, you found it. Great.
February 7th, 2021. Pigs. All right. I'm going to think of the dinger. This is what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk to him maybe tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Pigs in a blanket. Fried ravioli. Mm-hmm. Loaded potato skins. Assorted sushi rolls. Tuna salmon. Eel avocado spider. Is that a spider roll?
Spider roll.
Is that what they call it?
I guess. Yeah.
All right. Loaded nachos with beef. Jalapeno salsa. Lettuce, tomatoes,
lettuce,
English muffin pizzas, tuna tartare with avocado, pretzel bites with dipping sauce, buffalo chicken crescent roll ring, cheese sticks with bacon and dip. Now, the main course is kind of chill.
Yeah.
Assorted cold cut platter, pasta salad, southern fried chicken. And roast pork fried rice.
All right.
Oh, I'm giving the man a standing ovation.
Mike, you missed two things. Fluffy ruffs and bun, 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 bun.
Bun, 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 bun.
The food has been incredible.
That's all. That's all fantastic, delicious Toa. And Tom Brady went, delicious Paulie, please come on the show.
Yes.
We'd love to talk about you know, everything you have. Hey, I maintained my time. I got caught up. Yes, sirree.
Attaboy.
I'm happy. 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 I'd like, if you're in a restaurant and you're sitting down, you said, I'd like pigs in a blanket, some sushi rolls, and give me some of the loaded potato skins. Could I also have a platter of cold cuts and just a little fried ravioli and southern fried chicken along with some roast pork fried rum? Yes. I am never, ever full physically.
On the way home, you had Chinese.
We'll take a break. Come right back.
Romeo and Juliet, Antony and Cleopatra, Bogey and Bacall. Add to that list another one of the world's greatest love stories, Mike and Carla O'Mara. Their love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Their love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. And nowhere is that love story more on display than the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Yes, fall in love with love again and again with a Mike O'Mara Bonus Show subscription. Lovingly tap the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and order the TMOS Bonus Show today. You'll love it, just like Carla loves Mike.
The best of O'Mara.
Will you entertain a sleep question?
Yes.
When you got your CPAP machine, you had your sleep study, then you had a follow-up.
Right.
How many follow-ups before you actually got your machine and your mask?
Oh, boy. Let me see. I did it differently. I had a pal. I had a connection. I had a hookup.
He knew a guy.
You got
I knew a guy
that
knew a guy.
How do you know a CPAP guy? That's not a guy people usually know.
His name is Guy CPAP.
An anonymous listener to the show. A guy's probably listening right now, and I want to give him a big
do you remember
hug
his name? You don't remember his name.
I totally know his name.
What's
I know
his name?
I know where he lives.
What's
I'm not telling
name?
You his name. I'm not
his
telling
first
you his name. First
Everybody
name.
Has a first
you,
name.
I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you.
You don't
his
remember
first
his name.
I know his first name. It's Ronik.
Ronik in Vegas? You went all the way out to Vegas to get your CPAP machine?
I say it because it's Ronik's birthday. It was only a joke.
This man has been to my home 4 times.
Oh.
Does he own a bar in Manassas?
No. I'm talking about the my hookup. I'm talking about my guy.
You still don't remember his first name? He's been to your house 4 times?
I know his I know his first name.
We can bleep it out.
I can't because he had asked at the time for anonymity.
I see.
Because
witness
of the
protection
fact
program.
That, what's that?
Witness protection program.
It's the witness protection program, and he's not in the area anymore.
Did he make a CPAP joke? Did he say?
I happen to know that about him, too.
Oh, wow. There.
He made his CPAP joke, Oscar. He said, never breathe a word of this.
Why are you asking? Are you not getting your machine quick enough?
I don't know. I have a follow-up today following my second study. I think I get my mask today, and I'm a little jacked.
Are you? But it's just not your mask. Are you getting the whole machine?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would get everything. It looks kind of like an auric vacuum, Mike. There's a handle and a hose and everything. And
I will tell you this. It requires, and they probably said this to you already, it requires a little getting used to.
Yes.
You have to kind of acclimate to it. I remember the first time I put it on and I pressed the little button and the air comes in and it's like. I can't breathe.
Were you bothered by the fact that even if you like stop, not hold your breath like when you're going underwater, but if you just stop breathing, you can feel a breeze coming out of your mouth?
Yeah.
It's very odd.
It's like G forces.
But I'm excited. I bought 3 gallons of distilled water yesterday, so I'm ready to go. My fingers are crossed that the strange visitor from the East is going to issue me my machine today.
So you're going to sleep with it tonight, maybe,
hopefully,
right?
Yeah. And without the wires, you know, it could be great.
I will note that. I will make a note of that because I'm very curious to see how you do your first night with it. Because in my case, it was very soon thereafter that I had, like, an amazing night's sleep. I just came off a phenomenal night's sleep. You know, I hate to mention the client again, but it is, you know, the wonderful Sleep Number bed. But I also, that machine that I have helps me out. And I would venture to say that I've become a little bit addicted to it. I truly like it. Oscar's always over there. Don't you guys realize that if you just took care of yourselves, you wouldn't have to do any
Oscar,
of this.
Oscar, just so you think, we do listen to you. The name of the most current Cake and Cookies episode is Too Fat to Sleep. So I want you to know that we do listen.
It's okay.
And I was given a piece of advice from another user, a friend of mine, that I'd like to pass along to you, Mike. When you're wearing your CPAP machine, Mike, don't let anyone fart near the intake.
Ha 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 ha! The one thing you will find, Rob, if you...
That must taste horrible.
Oh, God. I'll let you know. The worst.
The dog, get away from there.
Now, my intake's always over on my vanity. It's always on my vanity.
Oh, your beautiful vanity. Yeah. You're a slave to it.
My nightstand, I mean. I call it.
No, you call it vanity. Stop lying.
It's a nightstand.
Is that where you keep your makeup? Your big curved mirror and your powder puff.
Do you brush your hair there before you go to bed?
100 strokes.
With my silver brush.
Yeah.
Now, you have the large mirror that's mounted, but also a hand mirror as well,
yes.
Right?
Yeah,
so you can
absolutely
see the back of your beautiful head.
And of course,
mirror,
right now,
mirror
I'm
on the wall. Who's the
I'm
best mimic my, of them all?
I'm carrying my compact.
Of course. I'll be right out, Carla. My nose is a little shiny. I'll be at the vanity.
I have to go powder my nose. I'll be sitting at the vanity. And it's pink.
Of course it is.
It's pink. And it's got actually the big mirror in the middle, but then the folding in mirror
on
the side.
Oh, that way you can see. Yeah, you can see all sides of your beautiful face.
Yeah, it's where I put my makeup on, brush my hair, and play with my dolls. That's what happens with it.
Mike's American Girl dolls.
Only the best for Mike.
I'm very, very curious as to how you're going to do with that. I'd like to really find out. The one thing I will warn you, when you get the machine, and if you turn, do you sleep on your back side or stomach?
I sleep primarily on my left side.
Left side, okay. Yeah. That means...
facing my vanity, so I should be fine.
Are you facing the wall or are you facing your wife?
I'm always the wall.
Oh, the wall? Because if you turn, I've had this happen with Carla. If you turn on your side and you I switch. I go from one, sleep on my side, and I'll sleep sometimes on my right, sometimes on my left. I'm all right. I'm all
right. Right, right.
I'm all right.
Right,
I'm all
right. Right, right, right.
If you face your wife, we had this problem because it blows the wind into your lungs.
And she wakes up screaming?
Terrified.
It will blow it out of the top of the mask.
Right.
So you've got a steady stream of air, and if you point to her, she's getting a concentrated breeze, which is not going to be good for her to sleep with.
What I do is I sleep either on my back or my left side facing away from Carrie and probably facing where the CPAP machine will be. So I've actually been preparing for this, Mike, for 43 years.
You no longer sleep at the foot of the bed, do you?
No, curled. Curled at my wife's feet.
Sleeping curled up at the foot of the bed.
Yes.
And Rob has a doggy bed from Costco.
I occasionally scratch my ear, but I use my foot to do it. So I hope I don't knock the mask off. I tell you what, Mike, if I am issued the mask, I will know before close of business today. I will text you, and perhaps tomorrow we can compare our headgear.
Very exciting.
Would you like that?
Yeah, we'll start the show. If you have it, bring it in, and I'll start the show with it. We can both start the show with our masks tomorrow.
I'd like that. It'll make the mailbag get very interesting.
Something for people to tune in for. Super duper.
If people are wondering what I'm thinking right now.
Okay, thanks for bringing that up, Oscar.
Yeah, my mindset is that I work with two cautionary tales.
That's all I got.
That's
too goddamn funny.
And one a-hole.
So do you guys care about Craig Ferguson? Have we covered that pretty much?
I feel bad for him. I still feel for him. I don't think it was his choice. I think that you hit the nail on the head, and Rob as well, when you said that the odds of him just either leaving or getting pushed out were high simply because they are trying to do everything to get more young and more hip.
But I read on Facebook somewhere last night his contract gave him right of first refusal for Letterman's show. That was written into his contract.
That happened with Conan as well. He gets paid out like $9 million. Up to $9 million. Well, he gets paid regardless.
I'm sure he'll be fine, as will the robot.
The thing about Craig Ferguson, though, is you're banished when you're in that time slot. And I don't think a lot of America knew how good he was. And the thing that's ignored about Craig Ferguson is just how incredible an interviewer he was.
Fearless.
I watched Craig Ferguson do an interview. His interviews, and nobody talks about this. What I hate about coverage of media in America. Nobody talks about his real skill. And his real skill, he did interviews that I would dream to do. He was so at ease with all of his guests that he made them all feel equally important and equally mocked at the same time. And there are not a lot of people that can do that. You know, I mean, you go back to one of the things Howard Stern did when Howard started doing a lot of celebrity interviews.
Right.
Is Howard would go so edgy. And nobody could do edgy like Howard could do edgy. But what Howard never had was the real warmth that Craig Ferguson had. Craig Ferguson could go really edgy too, but he did it in such a playful way. I just never saw anybody like him. And I'm not diminishing what Howard did.
No.
Because Howard's interviews were, you know, Howard changed the landscape and was fearless in the area of celebrity interviews, and nobody did it. I always said that. I've never said it publicly, actually, about Howard Stern. Nobody did celebrity interviews as fearlessly as Howard did it. And I thought Craig Ferguson balanced the two, and nobody did interviews on TV that he did.
I think also, you know, as great of an interviewer as he was, keep in mind, he was always doing it with the stars that weren't on The Tonight Show and they weren't on Letterman. He was getting, as a rule, second-tier stars, and he made you care about what they had to say, and that speaks
right.
well of the interviewer. But also, he was a brilliant monologist, and he would come out and talk in a way that no one had, maybe since, like, Jack Parr. And he was just so comfortable on screen. I was
so
going to save this for the vault, but I'd like to play it now.
Okay.
Letterman actually referenced Ferguson last night and said a lot. This is a brief tape, but very, very nice. And, you know, Dave doesn't hand out a lot of compliments.
Right.
And I thought this was pretty genuine.
Sorry to hear. Did you hear this last night?
Sir.
Craig Ferguson announced that he will be leaving his show, The Late Late Show, which comes on right after this show.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, which is too bad. He's been on that program, the star of the show, since 2005.
Uh-huh.
And he's going on to do other things. I guess a new show that is in the works for him. But he his show was unlike any other late night show. And I'm telling you, to be unique in the world of television, virtually impossible.
Right.
So congratulations to Craig on a great run. And we all wish him well.
I love Dave. And it's true.
That's so Dave's nice. Got class. Dave's
classy.
Got total class.
Very classy.
And what here's what you got. You now I'm gonna use the dinger buzzer thing too.
Okay.
Because I'm not talking about the product or the overall product. I'm talking about celebrity interviewers. Okay. You got Jimmy Kimmel, who will not get a buzzer or a dinger for celebrity interviews, because I think Jimmy Kimmel, of the people I'm going to mention, is pretty damn good and gets by and does a pretty decent celebrity interview. Not stellar. Then you got Jimmy Fallon.
Absolutely.
That's his interview. Absolutely horrible interview. I mean, really, already just wide-eyed, playful, and does great sketches with the guests, but doesn't have that. And then you got Conan O'Brien. Always one of the worst celebrity interviews ever seen, and brilliant in other ways. So I always like the interview segments, and it's frustrating for me that we're not. And Stephen Colbert is the big question mark as far as how he's going to do when he really has to be Stephen Colbert. Because I look, when I go back and look at the old TV shows like Johnny Carson and you know. And Johnny Carson.
All right, Mike, how about a little love for Merv?
Merv, well, yeah. Ooh, Merv.
Ooh.
Oscar.
I've never seen Merv Griffin
before.
You
never saw Merv, and I will tell you how
you didn't miss
to describe.
Too much.
You really did. Merv would be, the way his celebrity interview would be like, so how are you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No.
So what have you been doing? Oh, really? Really? But
like
it was so funny.
Like a lazy Larry King.
Like very L.A., very like, you know, ooh, yeah, terrific, ooh, that kind of way.
Oh, he was, so,
yeah, daddy-o.
The definition of vanilla. I mean, yeah. Really, and what he would do, if I was Merv and I had you two as guests, I'd say, Oscar, how you doing?
I'm great. What's going
Mike,
on, Merv?
And he'd say, Mike, Oscar's doing great. Because he'd have a lot of people on the couch.
Oh, like a talking tree. Like
yeah,
a,
and he'd bounce around. Yeah. It was horrible.
And Merv's monologue really was coming out and talking about the guests that would be on his show, and it was pre-written for him. But Merv delivered it in such a way, this next gentleman has been making movies for so very, very long. We are thrilled and delighted to have Mr. Buddy Hackett on the show today. Yeah, and he just would go on and do it like that, and it was not fun.
And he was the host of The Tonight Show before, Johnny?
No, he was on his own show.
He had his own show, talk show.
What about the Dick Van Dyke show?
This is the Merv Griffin theme right here.
How do you have this?
I love this theme song because
great
it is
theme.
So cheesy.
It is cheesy. Merv Griffin,
and
a band singer.
And, yo, don't forget, Mike, he had a big hit in, like, 1940? And this is great. He sings in a character voice, Oscar.
Does he?
Yes, he does. Like a cockney, okay?
Down at an English fair, one evening I was there, when I heard a showman shouting underneath the plate.
Oh. Thank you, Rob.
We didn't get to the hook, but it was called I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts.
The hook. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
There's a hook. Yeah, absolutely.
So what I was going to say is Craig Ferguson will be missed. I hope he shows up again. And it, to me, is CBS once again going flavor of the month. Mm-hmm. And looking at the you know, they look at the ratings. That's a big deal. But you've got a totally untried, unproven guy as far as the celebrity interview is, you know, he's done them in character, but he's never done them as Chelsea, you know, as Stephen Colbert.
Chelsea Handler is rumored to take that slot. That's the front runner right
Might
now.
Be a good fit for her in late
I wish I knew more. I wish I watched her show more because I don't watch it enough. And I
well, you're not a 16-year-old chick. So
yeah, and what? You know, what's your opinion of Chelsea Handler?
Well, right now her interviews are fun yet abrasive, so you don't know what you're going to get when you watch them, right?
Her television show is like a slam book.
Yeah, and she also she's leaving E, so she's going to have the opportunity to do something else.
Right.
And this has actually been in the works for a while, and now it's all coming together because about 6 months ago she did an interview where she was on the fence of staying with the E show and re-upping mm-hmm. or leaving, and maybe. And we, you know, you never know, but maybe these talks were already in the works where these are the possibilities, just like in radio,
sure.
where people talk about this is what's going to happen next year. Someone's contract is up, and then maybe you can slide in there. A step up from the E! Television show, which had great ratings for you, that's why they wanted to re-up it, would be that slot. It would be Craig Ferguson's late night slot. Because you're not just on cable, you're on network television, and some more eyeballs can see you.
Yeah, and you know, Chelsea, she's very brave. She did a lot of stuff on E! That you wouldn't think a star of her magnitude would do. And I think that the more we discuss Chelsea's slot, the better it will work out for her.
She's got a New York Times bestselling book as well out, so she's doing well.
Yeah. I think she's had a very questionable slot.
Really?
Yeah.
Trouble with her slot?
Have you done a lot of thinking about Chelsea's slot?
I haven't really considered it. I think the E! Show is 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So this would be a much bigger slot.
Yeah, and 50 Cent knows about her slot.
Oh, he does.
They dated.
Yeah.
Very good. We'll wish her the very, very best.
She can hold much more than 50 Cent in that slot.
Very, very excited.
Hello, parishioners. It's me, Uncle Baby Billy Freeman. I want to thank all of you that have supported me by purchasing my Baby Billy's Health Elixir. Blessings to all of you. But I've recently discovered something that's even more potent, and it's my God-given duty to tell you about it. It's the Michael Mara Show on TikTok. Beautiful, funny, spiritually uplifting, bite-sized clips of your favorite podcast. Perfect for yourself and for sharing with the congregation of your life. It's based on ancient scriptures and heals colds, flus, strips, even COVIDs. Just search TikTok for Michael Mara Show and follow us. Heal the spirit to heal the body. Michael Mara Show on TikTok. It's your salvation. Or my name isn't Walton Goggins. Baby Billy Freeman. Amen.
The best of O'Mara.
Yesterday on the show, we were listening to a tape of a Hooters waitress that was talking about protocols they have in place for Hooters restaurants when a couple comes in. And one of them was, and I remember this for say, just stuck with me.
Yeah, me too.
That you always address the woman first when she comes into Hooters. You give them a compliment. It's just like there's a playbook.
Yeah.
It's a little sexist, but it's funny. And then you only make eye contact with the man at the table when you are taking his order.
And then that's it.
Which is pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oscar throws this in right at the end of the discussion yesterday that when he was a boy, he went to birthday parties at Hooters. What age boy were you when you went to...
I actually... This stayed with me for the majority of yesterday, so much so that I called my mom and I said, hey, is it just me or did we... Like, did our tios and tias have a lot of kids' birthday parties at Hooters? And she said, oh, yeah, tus tios le encantan a Hooters. And so your uncles love Hooters, like, literally and figuratively.
I love when we have bilingual story hour.
And we're a passionate people. And I imagine the chauvinism hadn't left as we were all FOB, and my uncles were, at least.
Mm.
And... So I looked up the year. It's 1987. Creepshow 2 came out. Not a movie for kids.
No.
But we all went to the movies and watched Creepshow 2, which, by the way, had nudity. I remember because my tia covered my eyes when the boobies came out. So
87, how old are you?
I'm at 87. I'm like 9 years old, right?
All my
cousins were all nine. The girls and boys were there. Like it was a brood of us. It was like,
Remember like the numbers we're talking about here when how many children would run into the Hooters? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, no less than 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they, in your memory banks, they set up the Hooters with anything kid friendly? Was there like the balloons or anything like
that? And for you men out there that, you know,
orange drink,
live a different life in a different culture.
Yes.
Match the shorts.
My
what I was thinking.
This specific creep show to then Hooters birthday party was for my girl cousin, Adrian. So
in her ninth birthday.
This is her because she's my her ninth birthday. And I just remember her, my tia, and then.
So it wasn't her quinceañera?
No, it wasn't quinceañera, but there was plenty of Hooters birthday parties that didn't have like horror movies not meant for kids beforehand. It's just the cultural norms were completely different, and this is what I get.
All right, can I interrupt
you?
Yes, because I remember distinctly going to a grisly horror movie, like one of the real slasher films.
Right. Yes.
And I remember a Hispanic family coming in with as young of probably 3 to 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember noticing it that it was a different type of situation. Is that what we're talking about here or what? I mean,
Adrian loves scary movies?
No, the Tale of Two Cities is this, or Two Countries,
right.
Really. Is when I was hanging out with my white Caucasian friends,
right?
We could never even watch a rated R movie.
Right.
When I was hanging out with my cousins or even my family, it didn't matter the police academy had all this nudity and cursing. if Earl's Video is going to rent it to you, must be for everybody.
Earl's Video is a great establishment, a great outfit.
So you run that. You remember, you have a memory of the kids packing into the minivan, all heading down to the Hooters.
Minivan? No, we're in a Toyota pickup truck.
I was going to say.
Stacked in the back of that thing.
I was going to say, I thought it was a Toyota.
Yeah, there's three in the front and 12 in the back.
You mentioned Tia, like your aunt, your female aunt.
Yes, yes.
So the mother is part of this as well.
She is the leader of the pack.
Where's the dad?
We met him all at Hooters afterwards. Like, we would go and meet him up there.
Oh, they didn't come to the movies. They were at Hooters.
They didn't want to see Creepshow. I'm like, they were two pictures in.
The women would take us to the actual event, and then we'd meet the men at Hooters. Maybe that was the whole plan for them. But like, hey, just meet us at Hooters afterwards, being in the guise of
people. We have already secured 2 8 tops.
So you met dad. And the other, his Deals. Brothers
yeah. yes.
at the Hooters.
Yes.
Do you have any other memories of this?
I have a hard time picturing your dad at Hooters.
Well, my dad was probably out of town and I was just, doing just the family rounds. Maybe.
Yeah. Did your mom come along ever?
Yes, she was there. But my mom, a Latin woman isn't as threatened by sexuality, a lot as maybe somebody that comes from a more conservative background.
Would that be why you have their pop culture, some of their television programming very sexy?
Even if I mean, there's a long-standing bit on YouTube about how you watch the weather in Latin America compared to the weather here in the States.
By the way, thumbs up to that.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And Mike, remember there was a 3 or 4 month span where at WJFK we watched a Spanish soap opera, but we didn't speak Spanish.
That because it was just so darn.
It was over
sexy.
The top and sexy. Yeah.
Now,
yes.
I don't ever really remember being uncomfortable at Hooters because that's all you know, right?
Right.
It just was festive, and the girls were super nice to us.
Sure.
And my older cousins were like super happy that we were going there. But imagine what should happen at a Chuck E. Cheese or a Farrell's happening in a space where all you see is short shorts and boobs, which is fine if you don't know any better. But looking back at my childhood, I mean, that had to like wired my chips were moved around.
It may have.
It's been a while since I've been. They do have balloons there, don't they?
white and orange balloons.
I don't remember much. I don't even remember as much as there was a cake. My Dia would bring a cake from Baskin Robbins to the Hooters.
Oh,
I remember that.
Bring the cake in.
The kid's birthday cake.
But outside of like chicken wings, and they don't have like. They don't have a real extensive kids menu there.
No,
do they?
No.
Well, all the food on the menu is all sort of kids centric anyway.
Well, it is kids
burgers and chicken.
Idiots that go on and want to look at teas, right. Just go in and eat chicken wings. Yeah,
in the Latin culture, the kids are not the primary. Like the adults order, and if you are hungry, you will eat what they order. And
of course,
yeah.
So in a Latin family like yours, you would
I'm
go into a restaurant and you would say, Jimmy. What do you want? What do you want? You wouldn't get. They'd order for you. Is that the way it would go if you went to a restaurant?
Yeah. You're not. There's no. Maybe this is why I'm.
You have no rights.
I eat like a toddler now, Mike, because this is not what I had as a child. What I had as a child was you better eat this. It's called come callado. You know what come callado is?
What's come callado?
Shut up and eat.
Shut up and eat. That's it. Yeah. I get it. I understand that. So it's but I mean, how many people haven't we all been? With maybe another couple, or you've seen some other families with kids where it's like, Johnny, let me see. We have this, Johnny, this, and then Johnny, and then they sit there waiting for the adults to be able to order while little Johnny noodles through whether he wants to get the hot dog or the effing mac and cheese.
Exactly.
That gets frustrating to me. You're telling me that in certain cultures, it's a different deal.
Didn't have those rights, didn't look at a menu. Just food showed up.
Didn't look at a menu.
But to be fair, he couldn't. He didn't know how to read English.
Were you aware of the... Would you acknowledge and enjoy? That's disgusting. I don't know if I should do this.
What's this?
Were you aware the babes walking
around?
No,
I didn't. I just thought they were super friendly at that age. At nine.
You're nine. Yeah. Nine. It's not that big a deal unless you're overdeveloped.
If you're looking back at it.
Like Matt
that was weird, too.
I don't know, really weird.
I'm sure there are 9 or 10-year-olds that are going to go boobies or something like that, maybe. You know?
It's Mike O'Mara, the overdeveloped 9-year-old.
Yeah. I was 7. And,
ahead of your time, maybe.
That's right.
I don't know what I'm saying. The concept is so out there to me.
It is.
You have a son. When do you think that's going to click for him?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know. I think probably 13, 14, something like that.
Yeah.
That's when it becomes, and then, you know, what they don't realize, you don't realize when you're 13, 14, is this is the driving fact. This will drive you for the rest of your life.
You will make at least a half dozen bad decisions
What you're feeling right now. The thing is, though, I would imagine if I'm sitting there having a beer and a whole family with 11 9-year-olds comes in, I'd probably roll my eyes at the fact that this is going on.
I'm Latin, and when I'm at a radar movie like Get Out or something, and I see a rack of my people and their kids roll through, even if they're quiet, I'm like, that's not the right parenting we're looking out for on a Friday night. Like this is going to terrorize these kids.
Yeah,
I mean it really. I forgot what the movie was. It was bad. The movie was really like bad, like scary, violent for me. And I remember, my God, there's a child in backing me, and the child didn't seem all that fit.
There can also be. It doesn't have to be.
You could shelter them too much.
Violence.
As well.
There can be really awkward moments that are, you know, by mistake. I think I was 15 when the movie The Doors came out. And being a music fan and being raised in a musical family by my mother, she said, we should go see this. And what I didn't realize is that one of the major plot points was going to involve a BJ. And that's not okay to see in a movie theater with your mother. But we weren't expecting it. So maybe sometimes there is a little bit of misinformation that fuels the bad air. Creepshow almost sounds like it could be fun, right? If it's the number one movie in America,
there's so much violence to that. There's like a hitchhiker killed and just stalks them. That seared into my mind. Like that wasn't something I was expecting.
We've made bad decisions. I remember taking my ex-wife to the movies with my mom, my dear, elderly mother, and going into the theater. And selecting Falling Down with Michael Douglas, where he goes off the deep end, you know, I just want breakfast. It was, you know, and then, you know, going into that store where the military surplus store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, they use this stuff. It was, oh my God, I was so embarrassed for that.
But I think we also keep our parents in a sort of a golden light, and we don't pay. For example, my mom and her sister went and saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I really had a hard time picturing my mother.
Well,
at
they
that
can
movie.
Go by themselves. It's if you're sitting next to them.
But if you're with them, it's weird.
Right.
It's very
when you're,
weird.
When you're sitting next to your mom and the guy's talking about, hey, you'll go to prison, you're going to get up. Yeah. You know, that gets a little up.
Yeah,
culturally, though, this all goes back to culture. I never thought twice about it until you have these. I remember my father used to take me to, was it the Bally's Total Fitness? And he would take me not as a son, but as like his gym partner. And I'm like,
seven. So he was working out. He wasn't just like watching people.
He was working out and he's like, I got my little gym bag. We're going to the locker room. All I see is ding dongs everywhere walking around. Like you just walk a 7 year old into that realm of like just strangeness,
especially
right?
A short 7 year old.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm at eye level the whole time.
No, that holds true for adults too.
Yep.
If you're uncomfortable with that. And there are guys, look, maybe there are guys that spend a lot of time. Professional
athletes
are the exception.
He would leave the locker room while I'm still getting dressed because he had to get his sets in. You know what I mean?
I know.
So then I'm walking out. I'm looking for my dad in his big gym. And I'm like, oh, I think that's my dad over. So I go over to my little shorts, my socks all the way to my knees. I'm like, what should I do, dad? He goes, and he'd point at me like, ay, en esa máquina. And so he'd be like, there, that machine. So then I'd go and like hit the buttons, and I could barely hit the buttons, and I'd walk or try to run on there. I didn't know what I was doing.
Man. What buttons are you talking about?
On the treadmill.
He would take you to the gym at
he wouldn't teach me how to use the machines. He just felt like he was spending time with you by getting his workout in, and then I'd just mill around the gym trying, and they're like, I guess there's
father
a lost kid around here.
He is. Father of the year. But we're not going to talk about his will today.
No.
Not today.
And by the way, I should add one thing. Once my mom, when we took her to that horrible movie Falling Down,
yes.
A great movie.
Film,
but
yeah.
Super hyper violent movie with a lot of bad language. She it was out of her mind by the time we got done with lunch at Hooters. That was it.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.